Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Hey, this is Penn Jillette, Las Vegas, right after Easter. Mike Gounod just running in from outside, running in there during the jazz music, walking in rhythm, moving in sound. How was your Easter, Michael Gounod?
It was fabulous.
It was fabulous?
It was fabulous.
Now, your kids do stuff on Easter, right?
Yeah.
What do you do?
We hunted for eggs and ate chocolate bunnies.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is there music playing now under this?
That's cool,
huh? Start the music again? They've got a new board in there, so Patrick is having a lot of trouble. Also, you're too quiet, Gounod. I'm gonna turn
right.
you up a little
Go
bit.
Ahead.
Can you hear yourself a little bit?
A little bit.
We're just going to do all sound check on the phone today. It'll be all sound check on the radio.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about that. You know, my wife has really strong feelings about people who aren't Christian celebrating Easter. She just doesn't think you should do that.
She's been on me.
And the same way about Christmas. Are we hearing Gounod loud enough out there? Because I'm not hearing him at all in my headphones. But I'm in the room with him, so it doesn't really matter.
I'll yell.
G is Gounod, isn't it?
You would think.
I'll just turn Gounod way up. How are you there?
I'm good.
Okay. I'm not hearing you at all through this.
All right.
We'll fix that during the break. Ignore it. Happy Jack's going. Just ignore it. Don't talk about not hearing Gounod over the radio. But the thing was, I was going to talk to Gounod.
A lot of people
Usually
think
I
that's
talk
good
to
news.
People, but today I was going to talk to Gounod a little bit. Because, see, my wife thinks that if you are not a Christian, celebrating Christmas and Easter is wrong. But you celebrate Easter totally secular, right?
Absolutely.
You don't discuss with your kids any sort of resurrection. You don't talk about zombie Jesus Day back in the dead.
I'm glad Jesus came back to the dead because I like chocolate bunnies.
Okay. Now, do you get the solid chocolate bunnies?
We get both. But
also the hollow ones?
Yep.
And you sent that thing in. Did you see this thing on the web, the turducken thing?
Yes.
Where they take a chocolate. This is the greatest thing. You know, a turducken, I've never had a turducken. And I'm hoping some Thanksgiving somebody will cook me a turducken. A turducken is a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey that you all slice up. And I just think that's great. But there's an Easter turducken as well, which is a marshmallow peep.
Yeah.
Inside a chocolate bunny? No.
Yeah. A chocolate egg inside of a
chocolate egg
marshmallow peep.
Inside a marshmallow peep inside a chocolate bunny.
Yeah.
You didn't make one of those, did you?
I did not make one, no.
But the solid chocolate rabbits are better. So maybe, you know, in 100 years, Easter will still be a holiday, but it'll be totally divorced from anything religious, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe Christmas, too. Let's take the Christ out of Christmas. It'll just be, you know, they always have these things about the holidays becoming too commercial, mm-hmm. and that's what I see as salvation. When the holidays are such that we can have them just so everybody can celebrate the holidays, it would be great. We got the duck back to Lance. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. Lance loaned us a duck.
Your guys tried to weasel out of giving back the actual duck. I said, you don't want that exact duck back, right? Just some other duck will be fine.
We did try to weasel.
Some faux duck.
We've been using this duck in our show for like 2 months, you know?
Yeah.
And the duck has learned. He does a little preen thing when he's first on stage, and he's not scared anymore. And I can just, you know, I have to grab the duck. And I shouldn't even use the word grab because people go, oh, you shouldn't be grabbing the duck. I hold the duck gently. But it's quickly. It's very quickly. Quick and gentle. Quick and gentle. Ha! Ha!
That's a tough combo.
Yeah, it's a very tough combo, but I'm a juggler, so I can do that. And, you know, this is the one thing I wonder. If, you know, PETA and these people, they anthropomorphize like crazy. Oh, incidentally, we're on Free FM. I was about to say that once in a while. 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. 3733. And PETA loves to. And you can also go to PennRadio.com and just click right there, and it sends us a message right away. Comes right to Gounod's computer. Does not come to mine. I cannot be confused. I must be focused on everything I'm saying exactly. But so this duck, which I grab quickly but very gently, they anthropomorphize the animals. But in my mind, if you're going to anthropomorphize the animals, anthropomorphize them all the way. You know, the ducks that we got, the new ducks, because Lance, the big crybaby, wanted his same duck back.
We loaned you the nicest duck we had.
Right, but it's not one that's used in the show. We were told he didn't have any skills, and he was just your backstage duck.
That was just the story you were given.
What is the real? That was his best duck?
He was the best duck, yeah.
He was the A duck?
He was the A duck. He was the calm, well-behaved duck, and we knew you guys needed a calm, well-behaved duck. Lance took the hit for your team.
Okay. I'll tell you one thing. When Lance gets him back, He's no longer calm and well behaved. He's been over with the Penn and Teller hellions. He's been backstage with Nate and Zeke. This is no longer a well behaved duck. This is the duck that is plotting the violent overthrow of the United States government. This is a duck that'll rip out Lance's heart and show it to him before he's dead. We tried to save you. We tried to say, we will keep the malcontent duck. We have changed him.
Once you've trained him in evil ways.
It's like he's been through Scientology training. We took out all his engrams. We brainwashed him. He is now a...
Tape razor blades to his legs.
A follower of Xenu. He has now been involved. He's the one duck to work in cockfighting. We've had cockfights backstage and brought in the meanest bantam roosters we could find. And then we've put a duck up against him. We put razor blades on the webs. Killer duck. And now he's going back to you. Good riddance. We're glad. He's a mean duck. He's a very mean duck. But now we got new ducks. And I wish when PETA anthropomorphized that they would anthropomorphize all the way. Because the duck that we got now, we couldn't get a duck in Vegas. We offered $300 for any duck we could find in Vegas and could not find someone to give us a duck. Lance breeds his own, right?
Yeah.
And when I say Lance breeds his own, I actually mean Lance has sex with the ducks. He is the one that impregnates his ducks. He breeds his own. He has a little duck farm.
Yes.
Where does he have?
Backstage.
So you have baby ducks?
I share my dressing room with ducks, yeah.
No, you don't have, not in your dressing room. Where do you have them?
They're upstairs. We have a little pen in one of the areas.
Now, how many ducks
one
do you have?
One of the new areas.
How many ducks do you have?
15.
15 ducks. And you begrudge your dear friend.
I'm reporting what they said.
One goddamn duck.
I will go tonight with a truck and steal all of the ducks.
We got our ducks now. We don't need your stinking ducks. Your duck stunk. It was a stinky duck.
Well, that part's true.
We got a nice clean duck. So we had a friend, Sandra, who's a good friend of ours, who is always the one. You know, we did Off the Deep End. Sandra was the one that was the scuba diver along with you that was down under, longer than David Blaine will ever be underwater. She was down under helping us. She finds all the animals we use. And she said she'd find ducks. So she went to a place that makes ducks for, makes ducks, grows ducks, breeds ducks for Chinese restaurants. So all of these ducks were going to be, you know, when you go to a Chinese restaurant and you see those disgusting ducks hanging there that they're going to use?
Those are delicious.
Yeah. Well, the Peking duck, I guess it's Beijing duck now. They still call it Peking duck, don't they?
I think they still do, yes.
Well, Beijing duck and also duck l'orange and stuff. So these ducks, every single one of them, 100% of the ducks are going to be killed. That is their job. Get raised to full size, then killed, and you're in a Chinese restaurant. That's the way it goes. That's the life of the duck. We have taken two ducks from that life, and we have brought them into show business.
Pulled them out of line.
When people are watching the show and go, you know, they shouldn't be displaying the ducks like that. I want to ask you, were you a duck? Let's anthropomorphize. Were you a duck at a lousy farm going on your way to a Chinese restaurant to be Peking or Beijing duck? Wouldn't you choose rather to be in show business? So the duck did two shows so far, and our duck is so much better than the old stinky duck. We've forgotten all about him. Lance can have him back. So this is the way Penn and Teller repay a favor. We ask Lance for a favor, then I'm trashing him after he's done a favor for us. He can have his duck back. You really did give us the nicest duck?
He did. I talked to the duck guys. They said, when is that duck coming back? Because that duck was so well behaved.
Okay, that favor is going on Lance's permanent record. That's as a positive thing. The New York Times. Do you have that article?
I don't have it in paper. I have it on.
I have it electronically too. Okay. The New York Times again yesterday in the Sunday Times in the style section, which nobody reads. I don't expect any human being that's listened to this show to have read the style section. If you're reading the style section of the New York Times, what the hell? Have you read every? Have you read the Weekend Review, the entire book review? You've read everything, and you're down to style. There's a guy, I guess, Alex Williams. Alex is a funny name, isn't that a stupid
cute
name? How do you go to school with a name like Alex? Everybody has to say Alex, and you read Alex,
okay. And then Williams. Come on, who's not named
Williams?
Everyone,
Alex Williams, A W A N W, Alex Williams, root beer face. He must have had a terrible time in school. So he is saying that by naming my daughter Moxie, I have done permanent damage to her. Okay, he says, managed to satisfy a number of interests and objectives when he and his wife Emily gave their daughter her highly individual name. Her name is Moxie. Okay, and I just said, and this is me. This is a very, very surreal moment. This is me reading a quote from me in the New York Times. Everyone I know with an unusual name loves it. It's only losers named Dave that think having an unusual name is bad, and who cares what they think? They're named Dave. Okay. 866-313-FREE.
Might as well give it out.
3733. Sure. People want to call up saying it's okay to be named Dave. It's fine to be named Dave, but I went out. You know this. You're named Mike. You're named Mike, right?
Boy.
And I was out once to dinner in Las Vegas, actually lunch. And I was with four gentlemen who were friends of mine, and all four of them were named Mike. All four of them were named Mike. What does it do to a kid when you're out in the classroom and you say Mike, and four kids raise their goddamn hands? Isn't it better to have a name that is unique in your group? Yes, her name is Moxie, and yes, her middle name is Crime Fighter, and that is stupid, really stupid to name a kid Crime Fighter. But what is my wife Emily's middle name? Michael Goodell. What is her middle name? What is her middle name? Answer me.
What is her middle?
She doesn't have one. What is my middle name?
Fraser.
Fraser, okay. But people do not know middle names. They don't care about middle names.
You
it doesn't
mine?
Amount to a pee hole in a snowbank. Yeah, what's your middle name? William?
See, you don't know it, do you?
No.
Ha, 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 ha.
Exactly my point. It's making my point. Middle names don't matter. So we named my daughter. Her middle name is Crime Fighter. C-R-I-M-E. Capital F-I-G-H-T-E-R. And the intercap bothers a lot of people. But her name is Crime Fighter. Because nobody cares about her middle name. And she can change her goddamn name. Zoe Bowie changed his name to Joey Bowie. And that's fine. She can be Mary. My daughter will have unconditional love. She can change her name to Mary C. Gillette. She can change to Mary C. Smith if she wants. And she can become a Christian born-again preacher who's an alcoholic, and I will still love her. She has unconditional love. That's what we do in my family. Her middle name is Crime Fighter. Alex Williams with a stupid name. A&W. Root beer face. I've named her Crime Fighter. That's the middle name. And the middle name is that just for one simple joke that she can do. When she's 16 and she's pulled over by the police, note I say when, not if. When they cherry top here in Vegas, and she's pulled over by the police, she can pull out her driver's license and say, "Officer, we're on the same side. My middle name is Crime Fighter." So they put me in the category with, I'm here with Moses and Apple. Now, I would not name a kid Moses. I would not name
Now you're going to disparage the other crazy names?
No, excellent. Absolutely. I'm going to do that, sure.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I knew where we were going this morning.
What do you think? On Free FM, it's free to be a hypocrite. That's what it means. Free to a problem. So I have defended Moxie. The name Moses, to be named after a liar who claimed to be, what, 700 years old in the Old Testament? A warlike liar? Bad idea. Apple is a fine name. Apple is a great name. But Alex Williams is an awful name. What a terrible name. And then some shrink named Bob. And to me, the name Bob is a step up from the name Dave. I'm saying that because my father-in-law is named Bob.
Good cover.
I have very good information that Bob is listening today. So in part of this, Free FM means hypocrisy. I'm going to be careful on Bob. But I want to, let me see. Some therapist said the celebrity impulse to foist is the word that Alex creep uses, to foist odd names on their children amounts to simple narcissism by the parents, and the resulting status comes at the child's expense. The children, after all, are the ones who'll have to raise their hands every time a teacher calls out Coco or Eulala or Alex.
He doesn't have kids, does he? It's a baby. It's not foist.
Yeah.
So taking candy from a baby. So, you know, there's a reason that that's a statement.
Yeah, I don't know. Certainly. Elijah. I mean,
foisted it on the baby.
And also the name Wendy, which is now a common name, was invented for Peter Pan. I mean, what kind of jive thing is that? So my daughter's name is Moxie. I think it's a really beautiful name, and I really like it. What else is in the news today, huh? Besides Penn Jillette having a stupid name, lay off with making fun of Moxie's name. I think it's a great name. What's wrong with the name Moxie? Not like Charity or Chastity. At least it doesn't sound like a stripper. Of course, sounding like a stripper is okay, right? Amber? The New York Police Department installed the first of some 500 wireless video cameras to be placed throughout the city this month. Police Department officials are confident that whatever the next terrorist attack turns out to be, the cameras will get really good views of it. See, that's the thing. There's no camera surveillance that would have stopped 9/11. All the stuff that we put in for TSA would not have stopped it. You know, they had nothing in their life. I mean,
They stopped the guys. Didn't they stop half
of
them?
Yeah, sure. And then let them go again.
Let them go again. The security was there.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what else we have in the news here. A Temple University professor is having coffee at Starbucks outlets throughout the world as part of his study on cultural globalization. And a Harvard professor is studying the Temple professor for a thesis entitled The Danger of Tenure. That's a good gig. Pope Benedict, the 16th, gave his first Easter message yesterday, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus as the eternal fountain of tax-exempt status. The Pope's message, televised to 65 countries, once again won that big award for least TiVo'd program. Does anybody care at all about the Pope's address anymore? Now, this is my favorite thing. I don't know if you know anything about this. This wasn't in the news a lot, but it was there. Noel, that's the name. Stupid name, isn't it, Alex? Noel, a $20,000 mannequin, is medicine's hottest property. She's a lifelike, pregnant robot used to simulate childbirth in medical schools, maternity wards, and EMT training classes. Members of the Catholic League, pro-lifers, pro-choicers, PETA, and Ralph Nader are in a race to find something objectionable about this. There will be a news story with someone saying that's the wrong thing to do. And speaking of groups that pretend to speak for the Catholics and don't, this is one thing I know. There's all these little splinter groups. So there's a group called Opus Dia or something.
Yeah.
There's all these nut groups and, you know, the Catholic Bondage Society and, you know, the Catholic this and that. The Catholic Church, of all people, has a guy that speaks for them. It's the Pope. They have a leader. Any other group you see that's making statements for Catholics that is not the Pope, you just say, shut your goddamn mouth. You're not speaking for the Catholics. We know who the leaders of the Catholics. If you don't have the hat, you're not in the balcony, shut your goddamn mouth. So they're
maybe,
all...
Maybe if the Pope introduces you.
Ladies and gentlemen,
speaking for me today.
A guy without a hat. Here's a drunken Irishman from Boston. Speaking with a, I don't know. But there's these groups, and these groups send out these press releases like freaks. And they send out all these, like the Da Vinci Code. They're now after Ron Howard. They're after Opie. And they want there to be a disclaimer on the Da Vinci Code saying this is fiction. Because the fact that it's a movie isn't enough. So all these Catholic groups that are not the Pope has said precisely jack about the Da Vinci Code, right? But all these other groups rush in to speak for the Catholics. And my point is, shut up. Being a Catholic is not enough to speak for the Catholics. You have to have a hat, a big fancy hat, a big fancy weird drag queen hat, and you have to stand on a balcony, then you speak for the Catholics. Otherwise, shut up. So the Da Vinci Code is fiction because Tom Hanks is in it. Tom Hanks is an actor. We'll be back after this. 866-313-FREE 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Penn has two N's. And yeah, it's a stupid name. And my parents were narcissists. They were showbiz narcissists. So my dad was a jail guard. My mom was a housewife. Alex, you have a stupid name. We'll be back after this. Alex Williams, what kind of narcissistist dirtbag do you have to be to name your kid a name like Alex Wilson? Look at the, you know,
it's after
Williams,
an emperor,
Williams,
right? Isn't it?
Williams.
Alexander?
I guess so. Williams is the Williams. Last name. His dad was so narcissistic, he gave him the same last name. It might even be a woman. If it's a woman named Alex, and I don't know who it was I was talking to. I don't pay any attention. If it's a woman, it's even stupider, right? It's just, oh, you got a boy's name. Yeah, Alex. Thanks a lot, Alex. Narcissistic, my aching ass. We got some phone calls coming in. 866-313-FREE 3733. We're going to go to the phones in a moment, but I have a few more things I want to talk about. Canada, and you care about this tremendously. Every time you talk talk to Godot. Like, if you go out to dinner, he's talking mad cow disease. So I'm going to say that Canada has recorded its fifth case of mad cow disease, which can only mean one thing: a commemorative stamp. There'll be a mad cow disease stamp. Now, you claim that mad cow disease is really no danger at all, right?
I think it's exactly zero, yes.
Exactly zero.
Exactly zero.
Talk about that a little bit.
200 people have died worldwide of mad cow disease.
200 people worldwide.
Yeah.
And
all of them have been in England.
Oh, so
there's one in the U.S., I think. But he moved here from England.
And you think it's related to eating beef?
You know, it doesn't look like it. Beef workers don't get it. People that work in slaughterhouses don't seem to have it higher. Countries where they eat the brains and spinal cords of cows as delicacies don't have it in higher rates.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that they're claiming are causing it.
But don't they think that if they grind up the spinal columns and grain and feed it back to the cows, it's not only a little bit sexy but also dangerous?
It might be dangerous for the cows.
Uh-huh.
But you would think that places where it was considered a delicacy,
yeah,
where you were specifically going, oh boy, cow spine,
mm-hmm,
you'd have it. You'd have a higher incident of it, and it's just not in existence.
I think the reason that mad cow disease is something some people worry about is it's very well named. I think you're well named. You're well named. Easy to understand diseases.
Monkeypox.
Monkeypox. One of the great diseases. Monkeypox. But also, you know, like the anti food people, the anti genetic engineered food, came up with that phrase Frankenfood.
Frankenfood.
And when they came up with the phrase Frankenfood, they'd already won the battle. They'd won the battle outright because that is such a great PR phrase. It scares you. Gets you scared of food. Of course, the bad.
But what about
thing
the cereal? Isn't there a
Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
Yeah, but that's for kids. But, I mean, what they ended up doing by using the term Frankenfood is they ended up having a lot of people in Africa die.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't take the genetically modified corn. Aging rocker Neil Young has announced that he still prefers veteran singer to aging rocker. There's all these articles coming out. Neil Young has done a whole album hating the president. A whole album, a whole song called Impeach Bush with a power trio. With one other horn, I think, and then 100 singers. And a friend of ours, Dr. Gary Stockdale, who does all the music for Bull's hit, sang on that. He sang on the Neil Young song and said it's just terrific. And I love that people are saying strongly their opinions in songs. I don't know what my opinion is, you know, relative to Neil Young, because I haven't heard it yet. But I love that he's saying his opinion. I like opinions. I like the marketplace of ideas. And speaking of Bull's hit. Tonight on Showtime will be our one about the death penalty. We'll talk about that probably on Wednesday or something. If you got something to say about that, you can call us in then. But more important there, Bull's hit, the word, not the show, is very much in the news because finally the four networks have got together. All four of the networks have gotten together, and they are appealing the decisions from the FCC. The decision to, on the early show, I guess someone said that someone on Survivor was a Bulls hitter, and because of saying that, they were up for millions of dollars in fines. And then also the teen orgy on Without a Trace. Remember the teen orgy? That was $3.3 million. And finally, the pot stakes had got high enough. See, the FCC used to be fairly smart about this, and they would fine them chump change. Just fine them chump change, and then they would just pay it. But now it's gotten up to a few million dollars, which is more than I have on me. So they are not going to take it anymore. Yep. And, you know, Pacifica, which is the George Carlin case, which was whatever it was, a long time ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, that was only ruled in a 5-4 decision that the FCC could do this. And the FCC said specifically in Pacifica that they would not use transient obscenity, you know, just stuff that was said spontaneously. So the Bono thing, which is a big part of their case, and the Cher thing, and the Nicole Richie thing, and even the Janet Jackson thing, if it was not planned by the network, would not be. They promised. They gave their word, the FCC did, they wouldn't enforce it there. So there's a very good chance that the networks, which I'm now cheering for, I used to be a real anti-network guy, but now I work for CBS.
Yeah, sure.
Now I work for CBS.
We love them.
We love them, sure. They've now put a ball in the sack, and they got a little bit of guts, and they're going in there, and they're going to fight the FCC, and I think they're going to win. I think they're going to fight the law, and they're going to win. That's what I think. That's what I hope. Do you have some phone calls you want to take, Michael?
Sure. Why don't we start out with our caller on line six. This is Andrew.
Yes.
Hello, Andrew. How are you doing, boss?
I'm doing good, sir, and how are you?
Never better.
Hey, I've always liked your daughter's name. If I had a son, I wanted to give him the middle name Zeus and the next one Thor. Of course, my wife was never going to let me do that, so I had daughters.
You ended up having daughters? What were their names?
I had three beautiful daughters.
What are they named?
Jasmine, Araceli, and Katrina.
Now, Araceli, where'd you get that name?
My wife is Salvadoran, and it's a not a common, but it's a Spanish name.
You understand that if you were a celebrity and you named your kid Araceli, they would call it narcissistic and psychotic, and they would be talking about you in the style section that no one reads.
Yeah, you know, well, I'd have to live with it because it's a beautiful name.
It is a beautiful name. It's a beautiful name. And did you go with any sort of middle names at all?
Nah, they're all very common. They're my, they have three grandmothers, so they're all three of their grandmothers.
But still, Araceli and even Jasmine, they're apt to be the only one in their class that has that name if they go to public school, right?
Well, Jasmine meets a few of hers. Araceli, anytime I've met another Araceli, she's always trying to... Well, I met an Araceli who worked at a McDonald's. She's like, can we go to that McDonald's so I can meet her? She's dying to meet another girl named her Araceli.
Yeah, but I've met,
really
I've
called
met...
is oh. The Pope did say something about the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. As I was saying it, I felt it might be wrong, but I thought I might blow it by you. See, I always think that maybe no one's listening. But go ahead, correct me, because that's what I'm here for.
Well, the current Pope, before he was Pope, on behalf of the papal at the time, had denounced the Da Vinci Code.
He denounced the book of it, right?
What's that?
He denounced the book of it.
Yes, the book.
See, I get off on a technicality. I was talking about the movie! Yeah, they did
Weasel.
Say something against it. But, I mean, you don't need... What'd you call me?
Weasel.
You know what you... my point was that we'll take that... But he wasn't Pope at the time, but
That's
he was
right.
speaking. He was speaking papally.
Did the Pope introduce him? He didn't do the intro. It doesn't count.
I imagine he did at the time.
I bet he did, yeah. Okay. I think I was just wrong about that. But my point was, are you a Catholic?
Not a practicing Catholic.
Not a practicing Catholic.
He's got
these,
it down.
these other groups don't speak for the Catholic people, is what I was saying. They actually have a boss. They actually have a figurehead. It's not like Al Sharpton, you know, who just kind of says he's the figurehead. The Pope actually is. Isn't the Pope supposed to be infallible?
Well... Yeah, you would hope, but...
I don't hope. I do not hope the Pope is infallible. My ass is rotting in hell.
The Pope is infallible. Is when they feel they're infallible. There's your first mistake.
Okay, well, thanks, Andrew. And I'm sure you have lovely daughters with beautiful names. Thanks so much, Andrew. See?
Worked out fine, didn't it?
Worked out fine.
Let's go straight to line 8.
Line 8, let's
Robert.
Go. Hey, Robert, what's up, man?
Hey, well, you know what? Robert's not really fine. That's the name I go by.
Okay.
My parents were hippies back in the 60s, and they named me Rainy.
Rainy?
Rainy.
Oh, like Rainy, like water falling down from the sky?
Well,
or
yeah,
like Renee?
They decided to get creative, and they spelled it R-E-N-E.
R-E-N-E?
Most
yeah, Renee.
And say Renee.
Yeah.
But, wow. but it's really not. You have if you learn French, there's two different accents. They you know there's little slashes they put.
Right.
Nobody cares about France, so I just go by. And wait, you gotta wait. My brother-in-law's name is given name is Nard, N-A-R-D.
And does he use the name Nard?
Yeah.
Yeah. And does he like it?
He started to go by Leo in the past couple of years. I 20 years. I wouldn't call him Nard. I call him Leo because he was named after Leonardo da Vinci, but his parents, I don't know, couldn't spell.
Okay.
But you never liked the name Rainey, is that right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. No. And when did you start being called Robert?
As soon as I was 16.
Okay. And during school, was it a horrible thing being called Rainey?
Yeah, you got used to it. I'm a really big guy right now. I'm 6'8".
So oh, yeah.
Most people didn't bother me. I was
Mr. Rainey.
Exactly. Now, can I just tell you one thing? My son was born 5.5 months ago.
Congratulations.
And we named him Nicola, who's after my father-in-law who just died. I didn't speak to him for 20 solid years. We didn't speak.
Uh-huh.
From the day we got married, I never talked to him again. Now I have a son named Nicola.
Well, you're 6'8", so probably your son will be big enough to take care of himself, too. Thanks a lot for calling, Robert. And there you go. There's someone with another point of view. Maybe Moxie will change her name. Maybe she'll be called Robert by the time she's 16. This is Penn Jillette. We're going to be back after this on Free FM. PennRadio.com. Go there. Boy, that's a good bass player, isn't it? That's me playing bass. That's the big it's Mike Jones on piano. If you go to Penn Radio, PennRadio.com, you can take a click right down there on the bottom and go to the Mike Jones webpage, which is called JonesJazz.com, and pick up. We got for free on the webpage, we have all the themes, I think, are laid out. Didn't Dustin put them on there?
I think he did.
So you can get all the themes here on the show. If you dig that cool jazz, that Playboy After Dark sound, you can get them all free. We're just laying that out to you. But if you want to buy a lot more CDs of Mike Jones, you can go to his website, Jones Jazz, and pick up a few of them. They're really great. You really can't do better. The website is getting good.
It is.
Dustin is okay. He's doing a pretty good job.
He's working.
Actually, we're going to play all the music right now behind what I'm saying. The music's still going. Do you know that, Patrick? Kill the music for me, would you? Thanks.
Nice try.
Yeah, good.
He pushed a button.
He pushed two buttons in order to do that. We're trying to just make New York feel better for all the screw-ups they did. If you go to the website, Dustin's doing a great job. And a lot of people wrote in and asked about the Gid White letter.
Yeah.
Gid is my buddy who or I've never met, but who had the atheist on his dog tags and is a decorated army hero and who wrote an open letter to Katie Couric when she said there was no... Am I saying her name right? Probably
as
not.
As far as I know.
Because I never even heard her introduced or anything. But she said there were no atheists in foxholes and really showed a great deal of disrespect for all the brave men and women who were without religion but with a great deal of patriotism who died for their country. And I'm not qualified to talk about that. I did not do military service. But Gid sure did. He wrote a beautiful letter. I read it on the air about a week ago, and I think Dustin's going to put it up on the website. So if you want to read that letter and really study it and really give some respect to all the men and women without religion who have died in battle for your right to live free, then check it out. One more news story I'm going to do from Robbie here. Michael Jackson is restructuring his finances again, aiming to shore up some flaws in his eccentric configuration of assets. Now, if you substitute the word face for finances, you have a headline from 1992. Restructuring his face. That's him. The VH1 Lyric Awards came out for the best lyrics of all time, and I feel vindicated. Because nowhere on this list do we see any of the songs that I hate the lyrics of.
Frosty's number three.
No Frosty the Snowman. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat we found. Correlation is not causation. Frosty the Snowman, you are out. Donkashane, I tore your dress. What a mess. I confess that's not all. The date rape song. Donkashane, not in there. If this ever-changing world in which we live in Paul McCartney's Very Bad Grammar, also not in the list, and most of all not in the list, Shaft. He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman, John Shaft. None of those are in there. The best lyric they've got, the number one of the top 20 is U2 from the song One Life with Each Other Sister's Brothers. That's the one best. They've also got Nirvana in here. I Feel Stupid and Contagious. We Are Here Now, Entertain Us, which I've always liked as a lyric. Also, Bob Dylan makes it in down here at number 17. Johnny's in the Basement, Mixed with the Medicine. I'm on the Pavement Thinking About the Government. And David Bowie makes 19 with We Can Be Heroes Just for One Day. Of course, I believe that the best lyric of all time ever written, seriously, is Bob Dylan, It Frightens Me, The Awful Truth of How Sweet Life Can Be. When that starts to make sense to you, it'll blow your mind. Of course, the one that really should is Trace Adkins, who wrote...
Trace the Genius,
who wrote, Lord Have Mercy, How She Even Get Them Britches On, That Honky-Tonk Badonkadonk. That, I have you heard Honky Tonk Badonkadonk?
I had, but your reading was delightful.
Lord have mercy, how she even get them britches on, that Honky Tonk Badonkadonk. And my favorite part of Honky Tonk Badonkadonk, you know, Trace Adkins told me a great story. He said when he met
Honky tonk, badunka dunk.
And at the end of the song, he says, "This is why we do it, boys. It's not for the fame. It's not for the money. It's not for the free whiskey. It's for that honky tonk, badunka dunk." And when you meet Trace Adkins, who's my height and much, much better looking, you can see he gets plenty of honky tonk, badunka dunk.
Did you see it in his eyes?
In other places, yeah. Oh. It's not so much the age, it's the mileage. You can just see that he's kind of, his whole body is fatigued from perhaps too much honky tonk, badunka dunk. But he said a great thing. He said that Buck Owens, I know all about Trace Adkins, we used to date. He said that Buck Owens, when he met Buck Owens, Buck told him to sing some songs for him. So Trace Adkins sang a few songs, and when he finished, Buck Owens said to him, "Make sure you put that low note in every song. It's all you got going for you." But now he's just maggoty with honky tonk badonka donk. Lord have mercy, how she even get them britches on? He never said the word britches except for the song, right? I mean, there really aren't people in this country that say britches, are there? I mean, britches is just a joke word. I mean, I know that Teller's
unless you're show horses, I guess.
Teller says trousers. Teller says trousers, you know, which I think is just the fruitiest thing possible, saying trousers. But britches.
Nice to point that out.
People do say britches, really?
No.
No, they don't say britches. The John Lennon thing is coming up, man.
I know.
It's next Monday night, is it?
Next Monday.
Next Monday night it's on.
24th. I think it's on the 24th.
So next Tuesday.
Yeah. Next Tuesday should be our big visitor.
Next Tuesday, we have already talked, for those of you tuned in late, there's this big thing with John Lennon who's going to be brought back from the dead. They're going to do seances with John Lennon. He's going to write songs and stuff, and they're going to have a pay-per-view special. Now, I really believe morally that no one who listens to this show should watch the John Lennon pay-per-view special. You should not watch it. I really would like you not to watch it. But we will find one of our listeners to watch it. We will pay them the money to watch it. And then they will come into the studio at my home the next day. They will sit here at the desk with us, and they will spend the entire hour telling us what happened on the John Lennon. If you can play a guitar and sing the song that he wrote, that would be terrific.
We want the Ghost of John. The Ghost of John wrote.
Take copious notes, and we want someone who's funny and personable and a skeptic who is willing to watch this show for all the other listeners. Happy Jack will, of course, bring in Krispy Kreme donuts. We'll give you a tour of my house. You can hang out. You can meet Moxie. We'll have a really good time. But I need one person, so write in Gmails to penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. We'll also throw in tickets to see Penn and Teller and tickets to see Lance Burton. And Happy Jack will throw in $20 of gambling money. So you can have a good time. You can have a good time here. Probably you have to either be in Vegas or be coming to Vegas. If you're coming to Vegas next Monday and you want to spend your night in Vegas in a hotel room watching TV, then this is something you can do. It'll certainly be a big help if the person you'll be judged on originality, comic ability, knowledge of supernatural events,
spelling,
knowledge of John Lennon, and you'll also be judged mostly on your honky tonk badonka donk. We'd like someone with a good honky tonk badonka donk, and also somebody who has all those other skills. So write in Gmails to penradio, PENNRADIO @gmail.com. Like Wednesday or Thursday, we'll go over these. We'll find out the best ones. We'll pick somebody who will be giving an elaborate report. It'll just be a report a whole day, a week from tomorrow on Tuesday, talking about the John Lennon show. If you're a professional in parapsychology, even better. If you're a Beatle freak like my buddy Belmo, if he were closer here, we'd have him do it. But someone that can just really give us a good report on what went on in the John Lennon thing so we can feel comfortable in not watching it. Wouldn't it be cool if the ghost of John Lennon recorded a song that had honky tonk badonka donk in it?
There's a great quote here from the producer of the show. It says, "People say this is disgusting, and I accept that criticism."
People say, "What's disgusting?"
The show, the idea of the show. Paul Sherratt of Starcast Productions, interviewed in the British press.
Oh, there's no doubt that the John Lennon show is disrespectful and insulting. It does not have the okay from Yoko Ono or anybody that really loved John. It's a very, very bad thing that's going to happen, and we're going to make fun of it the next day. That's our way of fighting back. It's the only defense we have, really.
He also points out it's a natural follow-up to the Diana segment. seance.
A natural follow-up.
A natural follow-up.
Because Diana and John Lennon were so close.
And because he got a new wing to his house.
Exactly. That's the natural follow-up.
See, who else got to make a lot of money?
Now, I don't know if they have pay-per-view in the hotels. So I guess there might be a situation where we'd have to set you up somewhere with a TV. But we have TV, so maybe you can go over to my house and watch it or something. But we want to have all those qualities. You need to have good knowledge of Beatles and John Lennon, good knowledge of parapsychology, a very good sense of humor, and a just breathtaking honky-tonk badonkadonk. We would like all those things. So write a little essay on why you're good at that. And you'll get donuts. And $20 to gamble from Happy Jack. We'll give you, of course, tea here, a little tour of my house, the Slammer, and you'll get tickets to Penn & Teller and Lance Burton. So we're talking a $400 or $500 value here if you just come in and give us a report on what happens on the John Lennon.
If you're willing to blow your night in Vegas.
If you're willing to ruin your night in Vegas, yeah, by watching John Lennon. Although the John Lennon show is only an hour, right?
Well, if they get him on the line, I bet it goes a little long. Keep rolling. It's the ghost of John Lennon.
That's Penn Radio.
I'm sorry. We're out of time. Sorry, John. He's coming. He's appearing over the table.
We see him. Oh, he's full. It's his full body. He's giving code words and only he would know. Look. Julian recognizes him. So does Sean. Speaking of names, now you had some people write in with names they gave, right?
Yes. Yeah, let me see if I can track him down again. I'm sorry about that.
I thought you had him up there.
I had him up there, and then I opened up to get this quote of the
we need more computers. This show cannot be done. We already have, what, 1,000 times the computing power that NASA had putting a man on the moon? But it's just not enough for free FM. Not enough computing power for Godot and Penn to do. Yeah. Happy Jack writes on the little slate like he's underwater, like Jacques Cousteau. Do you remember any of it? Could you do it from memory?
Ballerina.
Super skater.
That was my favorite so far.
A guy wrote in and said that he named his daughter Ballerina Super Skater, which is a great name, and he's not a famous guy. So this writer, this Alex Wilson, Williams, who the hell knows what his name is, A&W, root beer face, float this. just float this, Alex. Hey, A&W, float this in your root beer. Hey, float this in your root beer, Alex. It's not celebrities that give their you name your child based on what you think your child would want as a name. And maybe Ballerina Super Skater is a good one. What would you call her?
6 years old, that's great.
Yeah, it's a great name. What would you call her? Bally, probably? Or
Bally.
Arena?
Super Skate.
Super Skate.
Super Skate. SS.
What other names do you have there?
Carlisle Christian Hawk the Third. That's a great name for a little kid.
Hawk?
Hawk. H-O-C-K.
H-O-C-K.
C-H.
Hawk. Hawk.
And of course, he now calls himself Pete. So. Probably Williams. Pete Williams.
What's another one?
Now you're getting me.
Okay.
Let's see here. Frida.
Now, Frida's not an odd one. Frida Kahlo, Kahlo with that mustache. I guess that's what would come to mind there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything else good. Sorry.
Okay. I thought people wrote in. But it's just, why are you picking on celebrities for what they name their kids? There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk to you all you want. This is Penn Jillette saying we like you all. And Lord have mercy, how she even get them britches on? That honky-tonk, badonkadonk. If you got it, come on our show.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.